Well, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. Real quickly, the gospel lesson today, which I really like whenever the Lord allows me to really have a homily that's kind of out of the readings, of either the gospel or the daily readings. And this one, I was just struck by the fact that of what it was saying. I mean, it's kind of like a hard word, what it's saying, because but we have to remember that at this particular time in history, it was horrible. You know, the Romans had taken over Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, and the Romans were pretty brutal people. Some historians say that the streets leading into Jerusalem were lined with people crucified, just to crucify them. And it is a reign of terror that and fear that was happening. And as I thought about that, I felt like the Lord spoke to me that that's historically the way it works before he returns. You look at every revival, and every revival before the Holy Spirit broke out amongst the people and started harvesting souls for Christ, the culture and the society that it was happening in was horrible. It was just terrible. Children being totally used and abused for work. You know, little bitty kids, sweatshops of the period of England and in the Great Awakenings and stuff, that it's always every real move of the Holy Spirit is first things get terrible until when the Holy Spirit comes that it's easy for people to realize how wicked they are, you know. And until a person realizes their wickedness, they're not really, they cannot really have a real relationship with Christ, because you first have to deal with that, which he did, and it's easy. It's not like anything that you don't have to do anything except acknowledge that sinfulness and then accept his forgiveness and his love and acknowledge that only he could save you. You could do nothing for yourself. And so I was encouraged by that. That's like, as we're existing in this world that we live in, that seems to be totally and completely out of control. So take heart, because that's the message of the Christmas season that we have. So what I want to do is briefly talk about the Advent wreath. Because the Advent wreath leads us through the period of Advent to hope and to Christ. Miss Patty, are you familiar with Advent and Advent candles and things? Yeah. Okay. Well, this may be just for you then, because everybody else here is pretty familiar with this, and some of them probably know more about it than I do. But there's a progression. We light one candle a week for each week of the Advent season until we've had all four of the candles are lit and then the Christ candle are lit. And what makes it, what will call your attention, even if you know nothing about it, is that there's this pink candle. So that calls your attention that there's something going on here besides just lighting candles. We have three purple or dark blue and the one pink candle. The first candle that we light for the Christmas season, the Advent, is the candle that is called hope, and the prophet's candle. I'll read some scripture real quick. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begot us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. So our journey through Advent begins first and foremost, with a hope of Christ, the hope of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know that at that particular time in history, that's where Israel was at. It was always a subject matter that was brought up in conversations everywhere, was with the Messiah return. When is the Messiah returning? And so they had this hope of the returning of the Messiah to deliver Israel. So that's where our journey began, when we lighting the first candle, no matter what's going on. And it's shocking how many times that around Christmas, what we call Christmas and Advent leading up to it, how crazy the world gets, you know? Because the enemy is always trying to destroy first and foremost is our hope. If he can destroy hope, then he's pretty much can do what he wants with us. But it's easier to destroy the other stuff. The second candle that we light is called the faith candle. It's also called the Bethlehem candle, representing Mary's and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. Can you imagine how much hope and faith that they had to have to do this journey? It's like about an 80-mile, if I remember right, journey from where they live to Bethlehem. And she's pregnant and all. It had to be hard. Hard, unbelievable journey, riding or walking, and your best ride was a donkey, bouncing you up and down. I can remember before my son was born that if I hit the least little bump, like a pebble the size of a grain of sand, I paid a dear price for that, and rightfully so, because childbirth is a hard, physically, extremely demanding thing on the body. So it's the faith candle, that we have faith. Our hope brings us to that place that we begin to have a real faith that God is coming, that God, the Messiah, is returning. The Messiah is on his way. He's here. He's coming for us. 1 Peter 1:7, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes though it is proved by fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:17, but therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith, who through him are believers in God, that raised him from the dead and give him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. That was 1 Peter 1:21. 1 Peter 1:8-9, whom not having seen ye love, on whom through now ye see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So as we walk through these Advent seasons, it's a journey of hope and faith, bringing us closer and closer to that relationship with Christ that sustains us through all situations, through all tribulations. And now we come to the pink candle. The pink candle is called the joy candle. Because sometimes on this journey, as you can imagine, Mary and Joseph making that long, hard 80-mile journey on a donkey and a pregnant woman, poor Joseph, you know. Poor Mary, but oh my God, I identify with Joseph. Oh my gosh, you know, his ears had to be just wore out. And rightfully so, because it was so hard, such a hard journey. So God knows that he has to sustain us for these journeys. And the journey of hope to faith, and then the journey of faith is always, I mean, like, you know, if I give you whatever amount of money it would take, $100,000 or $1 million, you know, you'd feel pretty good about your financial situation. But God calls us to live in faith. And faith, in my experience, means that I have to come to an end of me and my abilities in any way to provide for myself on any level whatsoever, whether it's financially, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. God has to bring me to an end in order for faith to become real and to become manifested. See, I had a rich man one time tell me that I just needed to have faith. I was living and had been living without any income because I felt God had called me into a ministry to help others and stuff, like Teen Challenge. And I was sick, and he said, well, you just need to have faith. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm going like, dude, you drive a Jaguar, you know? And I drive a Thumb, you know? But I'm believing for not just me, but for, like, at that time, about 60 other young people. Faith is the ultimate place that we've got to get to. But when we get there, sometimes it's been a hard journey. So we need to have the pink candle, the joy candle. We need to experience a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We need to have this thing that bubbles up from within us, not created by us, that is so other than us, joy. And that joy is not in stuff or things or whatever. That joy is in Christ alone, because we've been brought to that ending of us and to the beginning of him. And when we truly see him in the least little bit, this is the amazing thing. I've had some incredible, beautiful, wonderful, life-altering, changing experiences the briefest of glimpses of Christ that radically changed my life. The day I was saved was one, and many other times through my life. Those are just like flashes, like a flash of a camera or a strobe light, just... That's all it is. But they change our life. So the briefest glimpse of Christ in the midst of of walking out faith will bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8, whom not having yet you seen, you love, on whom through now you see him not, yet believing, having faith in, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. James 1:2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. See, part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's also the second fruit that's named behind love. And that's a result of what Christ did 2,000 years ago and what he has done today, this moment, perhaps, in your life. That he's changed that situation from despair to joy. Next week we will light another candle, and it'll be called the peace candle. And then finally, on Christmas, we light the white candle in the center, the Christ candle. I'm not going to talk about those. Talked enough. But I remember an old Pentecostal preacher preaching a message, and he said, this has stuck with me, is, I'm not going to let you or the devil steal my joy. See, we have it. We just got to keep him from stealing. Keep him from putting all the garbage up so that we can't see this finished work of Christ. Because that's what brings us the true joy. That's inside it, just as unspeakable and full of glory. So my prayer for you this Christmas season is that these candles, as we walk through this Advent season, that God speaks to you through all of these signs, symbols, and everything that's going on, for you to receive a greater revelation of how much Jesus Christ, God himself, loves you and cherishes you. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.